101.9 FM in Vancouver.
I hate the world today. You're so good to me, I know, but I can't change. Tried to tell you, but you look at me like maybe I'm an angel underneath, innocent and sweet. Yesterday I cried. You must have been relieved to see the softer side. I can understand how you'd be so confused. I don't envy you. I'm a little bit of everything. I'll roll into one. I'm a bitch. I'm a lover. I'm a child. I'm a mother. I'm a sinner. I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed. I'm your hell. I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between. You know you wouldn't want it any other way. So take me as I am. This may mean you'll have to be a stronger man. Rest assured that when I start to make you nervous and I'm going to extremes, tomorrow I will change and today won't mean a thing. I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed. I'm your hell, I'm your dream, I'm nothing in between.
Station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
Hello, everyone. So that was the full Meredith Brooks classic track, I'm a Bitch. My name is Alex DeBoer.
And my name is Alan Fortin.
And we are broadcasting live from CITR 101.9, both wearing pantsuits, and we want to welcome all our listeners to the first ever, and possibly only ever, international national news on International Women's Day. All right. So, happy International Women's Day, Lan.
Happy International Women's Day to you, Alex.
Thank you so much, Lan. So, first I'll just say a bit about myself. I'm a journalism student at UBC, and my passion for journalism, in addition to my hour and a half commute to UBC every day, has led me to read Metro News almost every morning. Now, normally when people read the news, they can start to feel a bit depressed about the state of the world. I found that Metro News actually brings me a lot of joy, and that joy has inspired me to create this show. So Alain, how about you tell us a bit about you?
Yeah, thank you, Alex. I am a woman.
Oh, perfect. It's International Women's Day, so that's great. What? Anything else about you?
Yeah, I love expressing my femininity.
Perfect. And what do you do?
I just live each day as a woman, and, you know, I think that defines me.
Cool. That's great. Anything else you'd like to share for the last time?
No, thank you.
Perfect. Okay, so moving on. Thank you so much, Alain. You know what, Alain? Lately I've had this feeling in the pit of my stomach.
What do you think it is, Alex?
I feel like this year we're going to achieve gender equality, like globally, and it'll be a post-feminist world.
I definitely agree, Alex. Things for women get better every day. I think this could ultimately be our year.
Here's to hoping. Cheers.
Cheers to that. So essentially our vision for this show is to present to our listeners examples of amazing journalism.
That's right, Alain. And amazing journalism to me often means accidental satire. Like, you know, when you're reading, I don't know, for example, Metro News, and you learn about the plight of a tiny monkey lost in a seemingly endless parking lot. And you laugh and you cry and you're almost transported to another world. And then it really hits you. This isn't The Onion. This is real. And knowing that is an amazing feeling.
Absolutely. So before we begin the show, I just want to explain to those of you who aren't Alex's parents, those who are maybe tuning in because you saw our really cool little Facebook post, I just want to clarify right away that Alex and I were not at all the people who brought you the IKEA monkey. And that monkey actually brought us to you. Also, we didn't write any of the stories about him or any of the stories that we'll be reading today. However, we absolutely curated this news.
We did curate it. So here we go into our international national news segment. Okay, so today we're talking about journalism as accidental satire. So on this International National News Hour, we will be focusing specifically on our favorite Metro News articles. The first article we'll be getting into basically define 2012. And I don't think anyone will disagree with me on that. So picture this. You're in IKEA. The smell of $1 hot dogs is wafting through the air. 75-cent froyo machines are purring. You're surrounded by poorly assembled shelves. And there, out of nowhere, wobbles a tiny, precious monkey.
Oh, and that little monkey is wearing the most fabulous shrilling coat you've ever seen. Now you're shocked, you're jealous, you're overwhelmed. You're feeling fashion threatened. Mm-hmm. You speed dial the SPCA. You are a hero. Well, that's not actually what happened.
No, Alain, it's not. In fact, what happened is, well, let's go to Metro News to find the full story. The title of this is Dapper Monkey Found Abandoned in IKEA Store in Toronto. Customers at a Canadian branch of IKEA were left perplexed after spotting a monkey dressed in a fur coat walking aimlessly in the car park. The small animal, which was looking dapper in a smart coat, created a stir when it showed up at the entrance of the Toronto furniture retailer. Shoppers gathered round to inspect the tiny primate, who seemed overawed by the mass of people taking an interest. Bronwyn Page, who took several pictures of the monkey, spoke of her shock at seeing it. At first, I didn't know what kind of animal it was. Then I was like, oh my gosh, it's a monkey. We didn't think it was real. It was very bizarre to see. I never expected to see that. All the people were trying to call towards them, but it was very scared. It was darting all over the place. People were trying to get it away from cars. Sounds like chaos.
Wow.
The monkey breed is thought to have been several months old and is reported to have broken out of its owner's vehicle. Police took the rogue into custody after staff had secured it in a location. The owner has since been identified, according to the Toronto Star. But the pet has been confiscated and a man has been charged with possessing a banned animal. So that's the story.
Wow, that was absolutely compelling.
Thank you.
And actually, some people might not know that just last April, this little primate came up in Metro News yet again.
Oh my goodness.
Here's a couple highlights from a 2015 update on Canada's favorite little monkey, Darwin. The IKEA monkey needs help keeping a roof over its head. Darwin, whose story went viral in December 2012, when it was found wandering outside an IKEA store wearing a shearling coat, has been living at Ontario's Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary ever since a court placed the Japanese monkey in its care. Darwin is now 24 inches tall, full of energy, and will continue to grow, says Lipa. It will be tough to get him in a diaper now, she said. So a lot is going on with this monkey, as you can tell by the story.
Oh, amazing.
Also, everyone's favorite comedian, Ricky Gervais, has done an extremely generous thing. He actually sold, just this January, a signed guitar for, get this, Alex, $6,000.
That's a lot of money.
To raise money for this little monkey. And the generosity absolutely does not stop there.
Oh my goodness. The public
has been informed that the winner of the guitar plans to make a music video of himself playing the guitar, which will feature Darwin. Finally, something to look forward to this year.
Yes, finally something to look forward to for 2016. That is a heartwarming tale. Thank you so much, Elaine.
Yeah, you're welcome. I think this little monkey has taught us a lot about fighting for freedom, fashion forwardness, and maybe most importantly, how to make the most of things, even when life seems like one big, bleak IKEA parking lot.
Well said, Elaine. And on to our next segment.
This year was a very special year for some very special babies. Metro News did not miss a beat on this one, and on February 28th published an article on an advocacy group for leap year babies. The article titled, 60-year-old man celebrating his 15th birthday, tells the story of Vancouverite Peter Brower, who was turning 60 last week, but was technically only 15. Really crazy stuff. When I came across this article, I realized how ignorant I had truly been to the plight of the leap year babies. The article delves much deeper into this issue than anyone would have ever thought possible.
Wow, that sounds so interesting, Alan.
Here's some pieces of the article. Peter Brower might be turning 60 on Monday, but the Vancouverite says he still feels like a teenager at heart. That might be because Brower is technically only 15 years old. It's just
oh my
nuts.
Goodness.
Yeah. He had the rare fortune, or misfortune,
ooh,
as some might describe it, this is great journalism, of being born on February 29th, 1956. Although that means he only gets to celebrate his genuine birthday once every 4 years, Brower said he still relishes the rarity of being a leap year baby. Still being a leaper, not to be confused with a leper, as Brower calls those who share his birthday, does come with its own unique set of challenges. Most of these inconveniences are caused by bureaucratic or technological failures to recognize the unique birth date. Weirdly, I'd never thought of this before.
Ugh.
In 1997, Brower co-founded the Honor Society of Leap Year Day Babies, an organization that aims to celebrate those born on February 29th, as well as raise awareness of the hassles associated with the birth date, and to advocate for those affected.
Mm-hmm.
However, Brower said he has felt a noticeable change in recent years in favor of those with leap year birthdays.
Oh.
Facebook recently updated their birthday policy, thank goodness, thanks to lobbying from the society to accommodate those born on February 29th. Before it was changed, the friends of leap year babies would get a reminder on February 28th that their birthday was the next day. But then on March 1st, the notification would disappear.
Oh my goodness.
What a relief they fixed this. Ugh. Well, it isn't always easy, Brower said. He thinks there's some benefits to celebrating your real birthday just once every 4 years. For example, he said leapers don't experience the sense of doom and gloom many others feel getting older every year.
Wow. What a groundbreaking piece of journalism. Just some strong language used in that. You know, the hassles associated, the kind of sort of systemic, I mean, I think it's fair to say systemic discrimination.
Absolutely. And you know, it was happening online. It was happening in the real world.
All the arenas of life, really.
This is why advocacy is extremely important.
I think so. And I'm really glad I learned about this man and this group. And I can tell, you know, people I know if I ever meet anyone who's born on a leap year to join up.
This article does have supported. a pretty happy ending, though. Brower has not been brought down, as you might have thought, by his issue, but he actually insists on going one step further and celebrate his birthday a month long every year.
Wow. I'm so glad he's treating himself. That's just great to hear. I guess that's it for that article. Thank you so much for sharing, Alan. We're going to go to our next one after a quick news music break. All right, and we're back. Our next focus is a wonderful Metro article piece, which is on the subject of diversity within Calgary's diversity police unit. So
this
some
is a beautiful,
here.
Beautiful article.
Oh, thank you, Len. So this is, like I said, another piece of exceptional journalism from Metro News, and it really struck me the other day. It was February 25th. It was a gray morning. I was, as usual, busing through rush hour to get to class. And the world was feeling pretty homogenous to me, Alan. So I grabbed my daily Metro News and discovered a striking article, which is titled, Get to Know the Calgary Police Diversity Unit.
Something I've wanted to do for a while.
I know. So we've all been, it's been on our minds. So if someone finally wrote an article about it. So I'm going to read a bit from this enlightening piece, but first I really want listeners to try to picture this. Three people, three individuals, each a police officer, and each in charge of an area of diversity within Calgary society. Okay, so just keep that in mind.
So everyone's eyes will be closed and we're all picturing this.
Yes, totally. So as the article points out, these three divisions of diversity in the police and the Calgary Police Unit include, and I quote, Southeast Asia, South Asia, and sexuality and gender diversity. So right away, you can really you get a really accurate breakdown of the main three groups of diverse people in Calgary. I think those three come to mind, obviously. Anyways, this article highlights the three individuals who you're picturing in your mind who had these diversity units. And so we may all be imagining different things, but let's hone in on what actually is being shown in Metro News. The first head of these diversity units is Constable Jeff Monday. Constable Monday is in charge of the Southeast Asia Diversity Unit. From his photo, I would ascertain that he is a white male in his early 60s. Mr. Monday's favorite thing about his job is, and I quote, exposure to new cultures and sampling great food. The most challenging part of his job is the, and I quote, language barrier, because this old white man does not speak any Southeast Asian languages.
No, Vietnamese,
you can see how that would
Thai,
be a barrier.
Burmese. He doesn't speak any of these languages at all.
No, he doesn't. But, you know, that's something he'll deal with. So besides that, he seems like a great guy, smiling in his photo, you know, good aura. So next on the list,
that's all you really
profiles,
need. You need a
aura.
Good aura, a great aura, maybe even. And I think he might have that.
He might. Bold words from Alan Fortin. So next is Constable Jerry Shannon. He is in charge of the South Asian Diversity Unit. He's middle-aged, white. Fun fact, he grew up in New Brunswick. Cool, very cool. Metro News quotes Mr. Shannon as saying, "I really enjoy the opportunity to meet people, to meet different people, and share with them the ways in which myself and other members of the service can help them enjoy living in Calgary."
Wow, he sounds like an all-around pretty nice guy.
He does indeed. But what are his greatest challenges, you ask? Let me tell you. He says the South Asian communities he deals with often didn't have positive experiences with the police in their country of origin. So, and I quote, "it takes time to establish a trusting relationship with them."
You know what? I think that's sort of a perfect situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because when a group of people experiences distrust or trauma, what they need to reestablish trust and integrate into a new country is to have someone who doesn't speak their language and someone who ultimately knows nothing about them. It's a clean slate.
It's a clean slate. You know? I completely agree, Alan. And I think that's the best way for people to really start fresh, like you're saying, and have the best chances of succeeding in Canada as a cultural mosaic, of course.
I'm sure he's really able to show like how diverse Canada is, you know? Like he's able to introduce these
people. He represents a lot, I think. So moving on, we actually have one more member of the Calgary Diversity Unit, which is Constable Andy Buck. So despite his ethnically ambiguous name, Constable Buck is an old white man. His unit is sexuality and gender diversity.
Wow. And what's his favorite thing about his job, Alex?
That's a good question, Alan. Metro News has quoted Constable Buck as saying his favorite thing about his job is that, and I quote, "it is unique." The hardest part of his job, which I'm sure you're also wondering, is that he identifies as straight.
Yeah. I could see that being tough.
Yes. It's.
What I wonder is, were there no police officers who identified as LGBTQ?
Well, Alan, I guess not. And also, apparently, there were no women who are police officers in Calgary. And I understand because it can be hard to find that kind of diversity. Women are a bit of a hidden minority, as well as people who identify as LGBTQ. So,
very true.
It's kind of just a fact.
I can't even remember the last time I saw someone from either of those groups.
Neither can I. It's hard to see. They're a bit hidden. And one last fun fact about Constable Buck. This is a quote from Metro News. He says, "I'm a big sports fan, both playing and watching, and was offered the chance to become an apprentice golf professional when I was 18 years old. I turned that offer down, and sometimes I wonder, what if?"
Well, you know what happens when you turn that job down?
What happens, Alan?
You end up being the head of the sexuality and diversity unit of the Calgary Police.
And I think that's better. It's debatable.
It's debatable.
And moving on, I realize there's actually a fourth member of this unit. Somehow I overlooked. His name is Constable Gary Woods. Again, don't be fooled by the ethnically ambiguous name. He is a middle-aged white man, and he's in charge of the Caribbean and Latin America's unit. And actually, you know, he does speak English, Spanish, French, and German, which some of those languages are spoken in that area, areas of the world.
That really came out of nowhere, though.
It did. I didn't see it coming. I think I blocked it because it didn't really fit. It wasn't
doesn't really
diverse.
Seem that important.
It doesn't seem that important. Let's move on to our next segment.
Put the two things together, and you two can keep fit and have fun.
Body break, get moving. Body break, keep moving. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and we're back. We are now going to talk about sexist emojis, the subject of sexism in the world of emojis, as that is now a predominant form of communication today.
Absolutely. So this next article, it really delves into the deeper meaning of what it is to be a woman in the 21st century. This is breaking news. It was published today. And as you should all know, today is a very special day. And Metro News did not sleep on this. So, yeah, let's get into it. This Metro News article is titled, Survey Sparks Talk About Sexist Emojis.
Oh my goodness, so excited.
So it begins. Men can be police officers, detectives, or construction workers. Women can be brides, princesses, or bunny ear-wearing dancers. Mm. At least, according to emojis. Only according to emojis. This issue of gendered stereotypes perpetuated by emojis and the subtle limitations stereotypes placed on young girls is the focus of a video and survey from Always Brand Feminine Hygiene Products. The Always survey, conducted by MSL Group Public Relations Firm, included responses from 1,000 American women aged 16 to 24 who were asked questions about their attitudes toward the use of emojis. The online questionnaire found that 75% of respondents want to see more female emojis portrayed more progressively, and 67% said the available emojis imply girls are limited in what they can do.
Oh, unlike
anything else, though. Let's just be clear.
That came out of nowhere, yeah.
Yeah, jeez.
Don't hear that a lot.
If you scroll through the emoji options, there's a lot of pink and hearts and lipstick, kisses,
typical.
A pink purse. I mean, these are all things that I like, but... you know, it's a whole other issue. A lot of emojis that are very stereotypically girly, said Heather Payne, CEO of HackerU, a Toronto-based programming boot camp. Why isn't there a police officer with a female haircut?
Ugh. That is an important question.
We could maybe ask some of the constables from Calgary that later. So why can't Apple just pop a ponytail on the side of a police helmet? Good question.
Good question.
It's not that simple. Emojis are regulated by Unicode Consortium, a nonprofit organization committed to developing, maintaining, and promoting software internationalized standards and data, which I actually didn't know. The organization is responsible for ensuring the images appear clearly across different platforms, but each platform decides how the emoji appears. Who's writing a book about internet language? What the body looks like is not up to Unicode necessarily, but the people who make the graphic art. Unicode doesn't mandate the girls to be in pink. That was a decision on the part of Apple's graphic design team.
Ooh. Juicy stuff. Something to think about.
So while Apple's dancer emoji portrays a woman in a red dress, Google's depiction is a yellow blob with a rose in its mouth.
Much less offensive.
Much better.
Much better.
In general, it appears Google prefers using gender-neutral images when Unicode doesn't specify male or female. Well, Apple chooses more gender-specific images. Apple declined to comment on details of emoji design or to respond to criticism when contacted.
Oh.
They just said that the company adheres to the Unicode standard. I think we all know what the Unicode standard means, though.
I think we do, Alan. Patriarchy. Am I right?
I think you're right.
Okay.
But I'm definitely still going to communicate mainly in emojis.
Me too.
Because it's 2016. What's your favorite emoji, Alex?
Honestly, that's a great question. It's changed as I have over time. I think one of my first emoji favorites was that salsa dancer. I know.
Alex, that's
I was so
really
ignorant.
Sexist.
I was so ignorant. But then, you know, things change, move forward. I'm a fan of the stars, but you know what? I'm also a fan of just the sleeping face.
That's nice.
For bedtime.
For bedtime.
To indicate to everyone I'm going to bed.
I mean, you did say yours was initially the dancing
that,
one.
Yeah, it
That's
was.
That's pretty offensive. Mine's just the eyeballs, which I like to think is pretty gender neutral.
Ugh. You're right. Honestly, they should all just be eyeballs, like wearing hats or...
a lot of loose clothing.
Loose clothing. I think that would be okay, but could still be offensive. Yeah, so we're going to go to some PSAs now and play a couple tracks, and then we will rejoin you momentarily. Thanks for listening, guys.
On March 8th, CITR is celebrating International Women's Day with a full day of special programming. We've got 18 hours of female-centered content, 100% FemCon music from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m., a performance by Les Chaussettes at 6 p.m., a live broadcast from SoFar Sounds show, and talk and documentaries about, by, and for self-identifying women. Want to get involved? Contact Madeline at spokenword@citr.ca/ASAP. Tune in this March 8th at citr.ca or on air at 101.9 FM.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
The most powerful motivational speeches that I have ever heard came from people who told me I couldn't do something. You know why? Because when they told me I couldn't do it, I was bound and determined to show them that I could.
Did you know CITR has an accessibility collective? Our new collective serves to explore issues of inclusion, equity, and accessibility for people with physical and cognitive disabilities on campus and beyond. If you love making radio, listening to radio, or want to get involved for the first time, come join our collective. We include people of all abilities, experience levels, and backgrounds in the production and programming of our show. Tune in to our weekly show, All Access Pass, from 5 to 6 p.m. on Thursdays for interviews, music, news, events, and awesome dialogues. If you want to get involved, email accessibilitycollective@citr.ca. If only I could dream we could start again.
Are you interested in Indigenous issues? Do you get ticked off with ongoing colonization? Do you have something to say? Or do you want to learn more? We have just the thing. Join UBC's first ever Indigenous Radio Collective at CITR Radio, Unceded Musqueam Territories. Our show, Unceded Airwaves, airs every Monday from 11 to 12, and we meet from 12 to 1 to plan our upcoming shows. We're interested in content covering various things from film to literature, current day politics, history, whatever you want to talk about, we're into it. Everyone welcome, Indigenous and non-Indigenous.
Hey, why so sad?
Oh, nothing, really.
Not very convincing, Jane girl. Whatever it is, I've got just the cure for it.
One, two, three!
Did you know CITR has a women's collective? This brand new collective is all about providing and fostering a community for women who are or who want to be in radio, fighting the gender disparity in media, and centering women's voices and issues. If you are a female-identified person or ally who's already involved in radio or wants somewhere to start, this collective is for you. Email womenscollective@citr.ca for more information and to get involved. And tune in Friday at 6 p.m. for the collective show, Lady Radio, featuring music, interviews, events, news, commentary. Basically anything we care to talk about. See you then.
The BMEC Spermatic Duckbill, or simply the BMEC SLV, offers a new, reliable form of contraception format. Uncomplicated and light.
You know, I'm so proud of it.
Men with chemistry will soon be able to benefit from competitive, fully developed sex. For this to happen,
do I stress you out? My sweater is on backwards and inside out, and you say how appropriate. I don't dissect everything today. I don't mean to pick you apart, you see, but I can't help it. And there I go jumping before the gotcha has gone off. Slap me with the splintered ruler.
strung out, I'm consumed by the chill of solitary. I'm like Estella, I like to reel it in and then spit it out. I'm frustrated by your apathy, and I am frightened by the corrupted ways of this land. If only I could meet the maker. And I am fascinated by the spiritual man. I'm humbled by his humble nature. Yeah. And what I wouldn't give to find a soulmate, someone else to catch this drift. And what I wouldn't give to meet a kindred.
Hello, and we're back. That was a remix of Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill, and a info video about male contraceptives. So we're just keeping it fresh.
Sperm switch, sort of playing over top.
Yeah, big creative, but, you know. I think we actually have a caller, which we did not expect.
Yeah, but we'd love to welcome her. It's actually a good friend of ours, Rochelle.
Yes, we actually do know her. Rochelle, can you hear us?
Yeah, hello, hi.
Hi, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thanks for letting me call in.
Yeah, how's it going, Rochelle?
It's going pretty well today. I actually had a question for you, too, that I
I'm sorry, we're just having a bit of trouble hearing you.
Oh, that's
shocking. Could you repeat what you just said?
Yeah, no, it is shocking, Rochelle.
It's a smooth show so far. Sorry, what did you say, though? How are you? What's up?
Yeah, pretty good. I was actually just going to call in and ask you guys a question if you're...
Great.
If you're game.
Oh, we would love games and games.
So I'm currently sharing my emotional, my physical, my mental space currently with a male-gendered partner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tough already. Go
currently,
on.
Currently, as we speak.
He's here, hey? He's
and,
there?
Yeah.
He's, hello.
And one thing... One thing
hey,
that,
I guess.
One ooh, thing that he one thing that he mentioned was that he doesn't he can't really relate to International Women's Day because he doesn't understand what it is to be a woman because he has a penis.
Well, I do think
and I was just wondering if you have any advice for him or like for any of the other male listeners, like how can they like really kind of get into the mind space of celebrating this like incredibly important, incredibly monumental day?
Absolutely.
Wonderful question.
With the rest of us, you know, both in solidarity and as partners that we support and love every day of our lives.
I love every day.
Well, I do think it's really great that he started out by saying that he has no idea, because I think that's a super important point. But it's a great, you know, starting point for actually engaging in this beautiful day.
Yeah, just right away, just sort of like put forward your privilege. And he did that, and that's great. But do we have any suggestions for these male-identified listeners, Alain?
Just maybe don't say too much.
Just don't speak a lot. don't apply to be part of, well, I don't know. I was going to say the Calgary Diversity Unit, but you could. You could.
It's happened before.
Maybe if you're not old and white, but still male.
I think, you know, what we should all hold on to is that although this is celebrating the differences in genders and gender associations, you know, we are all just trying to reach the same goals of equality. And I think, you know, hopefully your partner wants that. And so he can celebrate.
Yeah.
He can celebrate, yeah.
So eloquently put, you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling in, Rochelle. What a thoughtful question. We really appreciate it. And
thanks so much.
Yeah, it's
great to hear from our fan.
You know, companion. Hey, hang in there. So
happy International Women's Day.
Yeah,
to you, know, sir.
Keep quiet.
Thanks. But have fun. Tip my hat to you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rochelle. Love
Thanks,
you. We
guys.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Love you. You're a beautiful woman. Thank you. Bye.
Ooh, I actually, that was great. That was so great. Thank you so much, Rochelle. Amazing woman right there.
Yes.
I actually have an idea for something that maybe your partner could do. It was a news article that I read recently that's actually about a male form of birth control, which is actually a sperm switch. You can switch on and off your contraception. So something he could do is maybe just get right on the computer and sign up for this.
And it's
testing.
Mechanical. Men love that,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. So it actually, a German carpenter invented it, and it's a valve, which he claims will revolutionize contraception. Not conception. I guess that too. Yeah. By allowing a man to turn the flow of sperm from his testicles on and off at the flick of a switch. So it actually does get built right into your vas deferens. It's a very beautiful piece of machinery. There's 25
piece.
People that are currently
it's elegantly put
testing
together.
Them out. And, you know, I think something that your partner could do is just sign right up for that study.
Yeah, and sorry, how many people did you say are currently testing this?
25.
25, that's a lot of men to put themselves through this kind of risk.
Yeah.
You know, I feel...
It's amazing,
I mean.
It's a
lot to ask of a person to have their body be controlled in, or by someone else, be it, you know, a machine or like the state, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty dangerous and crazy that, you know, you would expect someone to alter their body in that way just so they can... have sex without causing pregnancy.
Yeah, I mean, it's really commendable. And I don't think, you know, maybe women can kind of relate to it, but as people who have control over their bodies all the time. But yeah, it's great to see. And yeah, Rochelle, so maybe, you know, just suggest that. Just outright, implicitly, just put that on his mind. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that story, Alan.
You're welcome.
We're going to break to our next story with a little... of our newsy music, as per usual.
Love this song.
It is a classic, as I find it. Here we go. All right.
And we're back.
And we are back. I'm just pausing.
Alex
this.
Found a really amazing story.
Alan.
She always does. She's a great journalist.
Please, you're too much. This is a story from Metro News, obviously. Although the last one wasn't. We did let another news source have a voice.
It was from The Telegraph.
The Telegraph. So, you know, not the funniest usually, but sometimes, you know... sometimes you get a good article in. So this piece from Metro News is titled, Surrey Bride Devastated by Farm Wedding Cancellation.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I know. Right away, you're like, I'm in it. I'm in the article, and I'm feeling
getting
emotional.
Heated already.
Yes. So thank you. So I'm just going to read a bit of it. So a local bride says she is devastated after finding out her dream farm wedding may not happen. Ugh.
Oh, my.
Serena Miller got engaged last October and started the planning process almost immediately. After months of searching for a venue, the couple stumbled upon CPM Farms in Abbotsford and booked it for May 4th, 2016. But in September, Miller received an email from the farm explaining how it was canceling all its bookings due to a cease and desist from the Agricultural Land Commission. The ACL is currently in the process of reviewing what farmers can and can't do on the agricultural land reserve. At first, I didn't have much of a reaction. I was too shocked, she says. But once it sinks in, it's like, oh my God, that's it. I've got all this planning done, and I've got nowhere to host this wedding.
That's it.
Yep. So Miller says this to Metro News, adding she has no plan B, and may have to consider a 2017 date. Keep in mind, that is 1 year later than she originally planned. So her frustration added has also been fueled by the ALC's recent decision to allow Kelowna's Bodega Farms to proceed with their 2016 bookings. It's not fair, Miller says, unsure of why the green light has been given. It's one location.
why does that one location get preferential treatment? This sort of privilege is something, you know, a lot of people relate to in different ways. So media contacted this farm to ask about the decision and was told staff are not providing comment to the media. They're oppressing her wedding. And I mean, it's kind of this question of why is this person being treated like this based on who knows what? And then this woman, Ms. Miller, being treated differently based on who knows what? It's like, what's at play here? What would you say? I mean,
I just find this appalling. She's just trying to have the best day of her life, her wedding day.
Her wedding day.
At the place she wants it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And there are terrible barriers to this for her.
Yep. So, you know, she ends with a quote, "We spend months, if not years, planning our weddings." I think that's true of all of us. "And to rip our venues out from under our feet because they are on farmland is ridiculous." And I think that's sort of an objective statement held by all.
That just sums it up right there. Absolutely.
Right there. So, I mean, it's something to think about, these sort of systemic issues, really just worth contemplating, I think, on International Women's Day, too. Who is getting what treatment and why? Really to ponder it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Why would this be happening to her? What issues are at play?
Yeah.
The intersectoral issues.
Intersectoral. Well said. Well said. So before we end our segment, we're going to cut to a quick track, which I personally am a big fan of. It's Celine Dion, our Canadian queen. So we will be playing this little ditty. Do enjoy. On ne change pas. On met juste les costumes d'autres sur soi. On ne change pas. Une veste ne cache qu'un peu de ce qu'on voit. On ne grandit pas, on pousse un peu tout juste le temps de rêve d'un songe. Il est touché du doigt, mais on n'oublie pas l'enfant qui reste presque nul et s'instinct d'innocence. Quand on ne savait pas, on ne change pas. On attrape des ailes et des poses de combat. On ne change pas. On se donne le change, on croit que l'on fait les choix. Mais si tu crains là, tout près de l'apparence tremble un petit qui nous ressemble.
Solitaire en marché.
And we are back.
We just want to take this time to thank everyone so much for tuning in. Specifically, yes. Rochelle.
Specifically, Rochelle. Yes, thanks for tuning in to International National News on International Women's Day. It's been a special segment.
I've had a great time here.
Oh, jinx.
You just get me.
Yeah, so just remember, it's International Women's Day. Think about that. Think about the stuff you're reading. Pick up Metro News and enjoy it and laugh a bit, you know? While thinking. Laugh and think.
Laugh and think. International Women's Day.
That's our slogan. And like Darwin, the little IKEA monkey who's filled us with so much joy, keep your head up and enjoy life's small victories and stay fierce.
Absolutely. Stay fierce.
Absolutely. So we're going to end with a track by actually our friend Rochelle Rovner, who is a talented musician in a band, a local band called Posh Lost. And we are going to play a track called Hello Midsummer off an EP release from 2015, from August. So take a listen to this. And thanks for tuning into CITR 101.9. Happy International Women's Day from me. And my friend Alan.
And me.
And you. All right. Here is Posh Loss. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Tikum Queen Ansep, Hydra, Siam, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Athas Yakuya, Talitin, Homasque, Mustail.